Well, welcome to After Hours, a second edition of After Hours in a row. So I'm back. I'm relatively healthy. And I just, you know, one of the things about this whole pandemic thing is I miss my friends. I'm texting just doesn't do it for me. The phone doesn't seem, I mean, I used to stay on the phone with friends of mine as kids for hours. It just doesn't work for me. So this radio show is the only way I can get to talk to friends of mine. One of my great friends and one of the great talents in this crazy city is Tony Fitzpatrick. Tony, how are you?
Hello?
Yeah, hi, Tony.
Hey man, how are you?
Tony can usually be found, because he's such a workaholic, either writing or painting or drawing or etching or something in his studio. But to the very point of it, the first thing I was going to ask is, hey, how's your family doing? You're not at home now. Where are you?
I'm at my wife and Kevin Kenny's new wine shop. It's called Door 24. It's at 2124 North Damon. Now, Rick, as you know, this building used to be my studio.
Yeah, I know. I know it well.
And you spent a week here one night, you know.
It's dangerous for me. It's dangerous for me to have a wine studio in that place. How did this come to be?
You know what? Michelle has been an interior designer and a furniture designer for the last 25 years. I have a summer cold, man, a bear of one. And she decided she wanted to be part of a recession-proof business.
You know? That would be the one.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm in the back room. There's a full house out in front. And the thing's been going great guns since she opened. And my friend Kevin Kenny, I asked him, why did you never become a sommelier?
Yeah.
He said, I don't want to take the pay cut. He's a wine dealer, you know. So he's been, you know, one of my best friends for years.
Yeah.
And we go on that bird walk every, you know, four times a week in Humboldt Park. And so they put this together and did it in pretty short order. And they opened a week and a half ago. And it's kind of going great guns. And they specialize in, like, small batch wines from small vineyards, and you know, you won't go broke. I mean, you can get a really decent bottle of wine for like $15-$20. So
I know Bob Chirito wrote a nice story about the wine shop.
He sure did, man. Bobby kind of put us on the map. So it's kind of nice to be back in this neighborhood. Michelle realizes I'm somewhat good for business. I'm not really a pain in the ass, and she kind of uses me like a hood ornament, you know? So,
sure.
So, I, you know.
But this reminds me, I mean, it's like you guys are such creative people. And Michelle may have.
It's the only way we could have navigated 30 years of marriage.
Yeah.
Because it was always about, well, you know, what's next? What can we do next? I mean, at this point in my life, I'm preparing for my final museum show at the Cleve Kearney Museum of Art in Glen Ellen.
Yeah.
And, you know, we sold our house.
Yep.
And we're going to do
the kids
four
are,
or five
the,
months.
The kids are up and grown.
Yeah. Gabby's in Brooklyn, and she's the content manager for Italy nationwide.
Good Lord. That's a better job than any of us have ever had.
I know. I want to work for her. So I thought, you know, I told her, I can't wait to become a burden upon you. You know, you're going to make some long coin. And, you know, Max is acting and auditioning. And, you know, I mean, just he's doing great. Him and his girlfriend Zoe live on Taylor Street. And, you know, everybody's doing okay. You know, I mean, we came through this darkness and this plague. And
well, Tony, you know, and I'll be the first to tell you, and you know it, is you've come through some dark places throughout your life. I mean,
yeah,
you've done
yeah,
this.
Absolutely.
You're one of those guys who is able to, when you get knocked down, you don't stay down. You get up. And you get moving.
Absolutely, man.
And you do
absolutely.
Something. I think this is a great example of that. What's the address? Give the address again.
2124 North Damon. It's called Door 24. You know, Rick, we're also, you know, me and Max are also negotiating with Robert Tidal. We have an idea for A, a feature, and B, a travel show.
Yeah.
And one of the things we were talking about are, what are the most magical cities we've been to? And it's, you know, it's easy. It's Chicago first.
Mm-hmm. Then it's Paris.
Well, Paris, Galway, New Orleans. So we're, you know, Bob's out right now. He's in New Orleans. And we're thinking about putting wheels on that because we've been talking about this for the last week nonstop, daily on the phone.
Wow.
And, you know, I think, you know, to really enjoy your life as a creative person, you have to indulge your ideas. You have to chase them wherever they go.
I could not agree more. I could not agree
absolutely.
More. Bob Tidal's a noted Chicago. He's a great Chicago character, but he's also a very talented filmmaker, Barbershop
many. He produced both Barbershop movies, Men of Honor, Southside with You, the Barack and Michelle Obama story. You name it, he's got his hands in it.
Yeah.
And I'm always saying, Bob, why don't you direct a film? He goes, oh, buddy, I want to make some money. He goes, I want to produce them, you know? And it's like, I started thinking, you know, this is a guy I can learn something from, you know?
He's also tremendously, you introduced me to him, and we had dinner.
Just the warmest guy you've ever met in your life.
Yeah, just really a terrific guy. When I don't want to put this idea in his head after you're finished with your travel show is, I want the story of you and birds. I want the story of Tony and birds,
because
you know, that's really...
He kind of wants that, too, because I spent...
I can't wait to hear about it.
...last weekend on the Mississippi, and I went with two of the best avian ornithology minds in Chicago.
Well, save that story for a second, because what I remember, the last time I actually saw you is you and I went to feed birds in Humboldt Park, and that has grown... Your affection for birds, I got to get to the bottom of it. We'll be back after 2 minutes with Tony Fitzpatrick live from his wife's wine shop. Welcome back. I'm on the phone with Tony Fitzpatrick, and we're talking about his relatively new wine store run by his wife and a pal. And I want to know, Tony, the last time I visited you, I just wanted to see what you were up to. It was because you, using your creative energies, had created puzzles from your brilliant artwork, even though you, like I, you hate puzzles and have never put one.
I've never finished one in my life.
Never been able to put one together. And the puzzle thing turned into if not a great financial windfall. It exceeded every estimation of how popular you thought this might be.
We were really, really shocked. I mean, we didn't get rich, but you know what? During pandemic, it kept us from sliding into debt. And we got two brand new ones coming out in the next week or so. And we've been giving a lot of them to Lurie's Children's Hospital.
That's nice.
And
That's nice.
Assisted living facilities, because I read this great article about the value of jigsaw puzzles and how they help folks
focus the mind.
Experiencing onset dementia, achieve a surmountable goal. And there's a great therapeutic kind of benefit to doing jigsaw puzzles. So I thought, well, let's find every assisted living place we can and give them four or five puzzles. And, you know, the first thing we do when we get a new shipment, Max handles the social media, and me and my friend Coley go up and deliver
pizza
them
board.
On a pizza peel. Yeah, exactly. The mayor asked that we, you know, observe social distancing.
Yeah, sure.
Man, that's a brilliant way to do it. In fact, I've handed one to Rick Kogan.
That's correct. At the corner of Michigan and Chicago, where I no longer live. The other thing about this entire thing is sitting in Humboldt Park with you and realizing, and you telling me about the puzzles, and you telling me about the birds, and I'm remembering that Humboldt Park is where my grandparents settled in America when they came here.
Yeah.
It's where my father grew up. You've always admired and liked birds. There's no question about that. But you're now at a new level, aren't you, Tony?
Yeah, I mean, I last weekend I went with Greg Neese from the American Birding Association and Larry Skillethead Critulis, a lifelong birder. And these guys, you know.
Where did they take
when
you?
They took me to the Mississippi River, the Mississippi Palisades, and Anawan, an abandoned Air Force depot. And these guys, they would drive very slowly down the paths and do these bird calls verbally, and all of a sudden they'd appear.
Wow!
I mean, it was kind of like Yoda, you know.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Now, I started my life list. Last weekend, we saw 119 different birds.
Oh.
50 of them were what we call lifers for me. I'd never seen them before.
You're kidding!
And
wow.
I learned
wow.
that my level of birding was playing checkers, and these guys are playing four levels of chess.
Yeah.
And I gained and gleaned a brand new respect for just what these men know. And Chicago Ornithological Society, every Friday night there's a Zoom meeting, and we all discuss what we've seen, what's going on. You know, the piping plovers are back at Montrose Harbor, and they've laid four eggs.
Having babies.
This has been going on for 3 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, finally the Park District decided to enforce the protections inherent in the word sanctuary. And it's just an astonishing victory during the Trump years. There have not been many in the environmental front. So,
it's a victory for this city, too, because I think it made people aware of the fact that there are other living creatures here beside rats, rats and cockroaches.
Walk,
yeah.
Yeah. The minute we walk outside our front door in the city of Chicago, we step into a complex and a myriad of, you know, natural narratives of an ecosystem. There are, you know, fundamentally millions upon millions of creatures that live in the city limits. You know, I mean, now we're seeing, you know, in Labatt Woods, we're seeing American mink coming back. We're seeing otters.
Wow.
There's
wow.
a badger.
What can you tell your friend Kathy Murray of the CTU and of the Rick Gogan Life? What can you tell her about crows? Because we now live at a place where there seems to be a family of crows, and she has become incredibly fascinated with where they go, where they land, what they do.
You cannot go wrong watching corvids, which is what family crows, jays, and birds like that are from, ravens. Crows are, first of all, they're incredibly intelligent. They mourn other crows, you know, when one
sure.
meets an untoward end, they mourn them. They're incredibly intuitive, and I would go as far as saying they're empathetic. I love crows. I have a fascination with them. In fact, if Katie is that crazy about crows, I have an etching for her, because I made the first etching I ever made when I owned my own press was called "A Crow in the Service of Ghosts," you know, indigenous people, First Nation people, believed that crows could travel between this world and the next world seamlessly.
Wow! Wow!
They would never set up, a colony where there were not crows, because when crows were there, it meant that the ground was fertile and things grew.
Hmm. I know this is a naive question, but you know me as a city kid. What do birds eat in the city? I mean, do they eat garbage?
Well, got everything. Everything. You know, most species are fairly omnivorous,
yeah.
meaning they eat bugs, they eat seeds, they, hummingbirds, you know, drink from flowers. They drink from, you know, hummingbird feeders that contain sugar water. Herons eat everything from mice and small rats to bluegills. Believe me, there is plenty of food for birds to eat, especially in my backyard, because I have the bird bong. I have three feeders.
Yeah, do you really know?
Yeah, it drives Michelle out of her mind. She's like, you know, there's pigeons
I'm going to the wine store. You take care of these birds.
Exactly.
I'm going to the wine store.
It's like Birdie Boy. Just go in the backyard, clean up all the crap.
Did you not tell me, Tony, that years ago, one of the things that first hooked you on birds was your mother and or your grandmother?
My grandmother. When I was 5 years old, my father had a heart attack at a really young age. He was about 39 years old. And my grandmother came to live with us. I'm one of eight children. Mm-hmm. I have five sisters and two brothers. And every morning, my grandmother would go into the kitchen, toast a couple pieces of bread, spread jelly on them, chop them up, and she'd throw them out into the backyard for the birds. Now, I'm from a big Irish Catholic family, yeah, and we never wasted food. Yeah. I said, why are you giving all our bread to the birds? And she kind of looked at me and gave me that look like you would give to a somewhat backward animal. And she opened the window a little bit, and she put her finger up to her lip.
Now, Tony dropped off the phone for a second. Britta call him back, or Dan will call him back. It's a fascinating story he's telling about his fascination with birds, and he has turned that fascination also into a series of remarkable artworks. Tony is most widely known, I would say, as an artist, and his artwork you can go to. Tony's easy to find. Just Google Tony Fitzpatrick, and you will get Tony the actor, Tony the artist, Tony the bird guy. We'll get him back on. Tony, sorry we cut you off, or you cut us off, or some drunken wine customer cut us off. And she explained.
My grandmother would throw this bread out for the birds, and I said, "Well, why are you giving all our bread to the birds?" And she opened the window, and I could hear them. You know, I mean, first thing in the morning, right before sunrise, and it was a cacophony of, you know, cardinals, robins, red-winged blackbirds, all singing. And she said, "You know, for a piece of bread, you can hear God sing." Mm. And that landed for me. Mm. I never forgot it. And the first things I drew as a kid
were birds,
you know, birds and naked women. The nuns were much more in favor of the bird drawings than they were the naked women drawings.
I'm sure they were. Some friend of yours just called in and thinks that the WGN audience would like to know what it was your grandmother told your grandfather as they were taking him away in an ambulance. Is that a real story? Is this just?
What my mother told my father.
Oh.
When they were taking him away in an ambulance when he had a heart attack, she said, "Hey, you know, you're going to have to get well. You're not leaving me here with eight kids, pal. You know, you're going to have
perfect.
To get up and, you know, you're going to have to man up and survive this stuff. You know, so."
That's perfect.
That must be somebody who knows my family well.
Kidding. Probably one of your sisters. We'll continue this conversation after the news at the bottom of the hour, because I also want to talk about how the birds have inspired a series of beautiful artworks, and also a remarkable, what I think of as an epic poem, Tony. I really do.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm very happy about that poem. That poem is the next book.
As well it should be, illustrated by, of course, the birds that are in the poem and the book. You're listening to WGN. You're listening to Rick Kogan, Healthier Than Unhealthy. And we'll be back with Tony Fitzpatrick in about 3 minutes. Tony Fitzpatrick, first of all, thanks so much for coming on the show. I miss you.
Thanks for having me, man.
I can't wait to see you, and I can't wait to go to that wine store of your wife's. What's the address again?
2124 North Damon, door 24.
Very easy to find. I can't wait to see it, and I can't wait to see her, too.
Yeah, likewise. I'm glad your health scare is over with.
Yeah, me too. Me too. You and I have had some health scares in our later.
Man, tell me about
so-called
it. This getting old stuff isn't for pansies.
It is not for pansies. That is a real fact, Tony. Listen, how's the podcast going with Max? You guys still doing it?
It's coming good. Yeah, I mean we've made 92 of them.
Wow.
And, Max is lining up guests on our run up to 100, and. You know, we took a little time off during COVID.
Oh, sure.
Because we found ourselves having these, you know, furious arguments in the aftermath of the murder of George Floyd.
Yeah, and, sure.
And both of my kids kind of took me to the woodshed. They're like, look, you have to rethink this. And they were all about the defund the police, you know. And at first I was furious with them, and then... my daughter sent me a book by Alex Vitale called The End of Policing.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, he made a good case for a massive reform of how particularly cities are policed. That, you know, every time there's a police call, along in the squad car should be a mental health expert.
No kidding.
And emphasis on de-escalation.
It's a great idea.
It's a great idea. You know, I'm thankful for my children every day because I've learned so much from them.
They open your eyes.
Absolutely, man. You get to be my age, and you become sometimes a little overly fond of what you already know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's that. The things you know kind of harden into dogma. And
well, I mean, look
what
at
I'm
the,
learning.
Look at the world we're living in. Look at the political landscape that we live
precisely,
in. Come
precisely.
On.
What I'm learning now is it has to be a whole lot more fluid, you know. So,
yep.
The last year is as torturous as all of it was, the darkness and the Trumpism. You know, my eyes got opened, you know. So,
this is what makes you a great radio guest. And I have listened to you. You're doing occasional work with our mutual friend Joan Esposito on her show. How did that come about? I'm sure she just said, Tony, you want to come on my show?
You know what? We find ourselves extraordinarily politically aligned. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm a Bernie Sanders Democrat. I'm a Democratic Socialist. And boy, honestly, there isn't much room on the radio dial for me. You know?
That's a fact. That's
but,
a fact.
You know, when people get scared of that word, I always tell them, look, do you have Medicare? Do you have Medicaid? Do you have Social Security? It's like, well, if you do, you are in part a socialist. Those are all socialized programs.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Trump people were able to conflate that with something much more nefarious and much
uglier. People are able to poison specific words so that people, you know, run from them. They don't know much about them.
Oh, precisely.
But they'll run from them.
You know, I mean, I run into people who conflate socialism with communism, and I assure you, they are completely different things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, and Joan and I started having, you know, these deeper conversations about how consensus got shaped over the last 4 years and how things like, you know, Fox News and, the big cable channels kind of poisoned the American mind, kind of lowered the bar of the discourse and thought, you know, if we can, we would like as much to be a corrective to that.
Well, and sort of killed the whole notion of intelligent conversation. It is either
absolutely
you tune in to hear people say exactly what you think because you have listened to them before.
Rick, you and I had the benefit of learning from Studs Terkel.
And
this was honestly Studs shaped the way that I saw the world.
Yep.
And it was much more ecumenical. It was much more inclusive. And it was much more open to the idea of kicking around new ideas, chopping it up, with conversations that perhaps have never been had before.
Yeah, you cannot close your ears to other voices
just because they
sound louder.
Exactly. You know, because then you remove possibility.
Yeah.
And that
well,
is
and I think you also, Tony,
human...
don't you think you also remove hope? You remove
absolutely.
You remove hope when it's a one-sided argument. No matter what the argument is, there is no hope for common ground. I mean, look at
absolutely.
Look at the recent causes of the ceasefire, for God's sake.
Absolutely, yeah, man. You know, I mean, the thing is, and one of the big problems is that Israel, and you certainly want there to be an Israel, you certainly want there to be a Palestine. Netanyahu, I mean, he honestly has turned Palestine into the world's largest outdoor prison.
Yeah, yeah.
And, and the thing is that we have some stock in that, too. I mean, you
sure.
know, American foreign policy is always steadfastly, and I think rightly, stood by Israel. But we have to, you know, hold Bibi and, you know, his thugs to account for, you know, human rights abuses and for treating, you know, Palestine equitably. You know, when the minute you say that, a lot of people paint you.
Oh, of course they do.
Of
course they do. It's not true. It's not true. No wonder Joan loves having you on the radio. What's her station? WCPT?
WCPT, 820 AM. And, you know, honest to God, it's a station that would do well to have, you know, a Rick Hogan conversation one of these days. You know,
tell Joan anytime.
You know,
because she's
yeah, we had Mark Giangreco on.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Boy, can I tell you what a great radio guest he is.
Oh, bad.
You know, I used to have him on when I worked for
The Loop.
You know? And he was absolutely one of the funniest,
yeah.
one of the most limber mm.
and smart.
For my money,
he's also smart.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah.
For me, the best two sports guys in Chicago history, Tim Wagle
yep.
and Mark Giangreco.
Yeah.
The line starts behind them.
And they hated and they hated each other.
Oh, yeah.
Those two. God, what a weird thing. I love you, Tony Fitzpatrick.
You know they actually kind of didn't. That was actually more...
With their agent.
Showbiz.
Yeah. Showbiz. Well, in those days, when people in those positions were making $1 million a year, I think those days are probably over.
And by the way, we've never been in that position.
No, we have been so far down on that ladder. It's
yeah,
not even
exactly.
funny. But I love talking to you, Tony.
We're in the candy aisle of radio, Rick.
Yeah. I love talking to you. I love you. I love your family.
Likewise.
Tell Michelle
love
I'll be
you
up
too,
there.
Brother.
Up there as soon as I'm able to go drink, you know, a couple bottles
exactly.
of wine.
Exactly, and I will make sure that there's an adequate supply of bourbon because Hogan's coming.
Yes, a special. The wine store is having a special on bourbon. Tony, love to the family. And
Absolutely, thank you.
You bet, pal. Thank you. That was the one and only Tony Fitzpatrick. You can learn more about him if you don't know anything about him. You can go to tonyfitzpatrick.co, not... com, C-O, and that will get you to Tony.